congregation growing, way for you to invest in them is through Awana on Wednesday nights. And so keep that in your mind starting this Wednesday night. Great way for you to make a difference in a child's life. Well, we see we have the Lord's Supper prepared that we're going to partake of here in a few moments. I did not put a PowerPoint up today because I don't want you looking up except to look at the cross. And I also want you to be looking in, because the Lord's Supper is a very, very precious, special time. And you guys know that how we do it. We don't just tack it on, but we use the service. This service is set aside for the Lord's table. And so I want us to think about, and the question might come up, if you're, what exactly is the Lord's table? We know, or the Lord's Supper, we know that it's an ordinance. An ordinance is, the two ordinances the Baptists recognize are baptism and the Lord's Supper. So we know it's something that we do together as a body of believers. I want us to think about that question, what is the Lord's Supper, before we partake today? And so I want you to look, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30. You're very familiar with these verses. We've used them before, and most about, they're probably referenced about every time that we partake of the table, but it's very important to ask this question and to answer this question. What is the Lord's Supper? Let's stand on our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30. 1 Corinthians 11, 20 through 30 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner and eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to be magnified, glorified. May the cross be lifted up today, and Jesus and what he did be magnified. We're asking this in his name and for his glory. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to think about these verses. What is the Lord's Supper, and some principles that will come forth? The Lord's Supper or communion, or however we want to address it in the name or the nomenclature, the Lord's Supper is what we'll look at today. Is really, it's a representation of a covenant, a sign and a seal. We were talking, I can't believe, I get so amazed at God. Why do we get so amazed at amazing God that our Sunday school lesson today and the last of Revelation, Donnie did a great job, and I know you guys, most of you are on that same series. It was talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb and how the New Jerusalem's coming down and just the great picture and the awesomeness of God. And part of this covenant, this seal that we'll be looking at today and partaking of, is that reminder that this is coming and this is what it's all about. What Christ did for us on the cross and how we are to remember that. We'll talk about that in just a minute. What is the promise that we are to remember? Listen, through Jesus Christ, he will be our God and we will be his people. Now that's a promise, folks, this morning. He will be our God and we will be his people. What a great ending to the story. But there's some principles I want us to look at this morning before we partake. The first principle is, it's remembrance. And we've already made that. We sung that song today. What a beautiful song. In remembrance of Christ. And verses 24 and 25, in fact, Moses said, when you take this, do this in remembrance of me. He makes that statement twice, at the cup and at the bread. And then he also, verse 26, he says, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I want you to know something. We should never, never get over what Christ has done for us. This week we had revival, and it's a time. Revival, what does revival mean? Well, re means something was already alive, okay? It's reviving. It's the church people. It's understanding. You know, a lot of times we get mixed up and we think of revival as a time for people to come to know Christ. And it is, and it happens. But listen, revival is time to revive the church people, God's people, to focus and see. We have every day the opportunity to take the gospel outside these doors, into our mission field, no matter where you're at, that we can share that with the people of the world that are hopeless. Listen, what day do we live in that you have to make an announcement to watch your kids that somebody will take them? That's the day you're living in. That's the day you young parents are raising children in. What about their children? For goodness sake. We're to be serious about the things of God. And it's time when we revive, when we understand, what is it that which makes a difference in our world? It's the gospel, and it each one of you. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And he said, you know, when we understand and we think about what we're going to partake of, what he did for each one of us, he said that you proclaim it. Are you proclaiming it today? Proclaim it till he comes back. How long is that? Who knows? I'm going to tell you, it's closer today than it was yesterday, my friend. It's getting close. And by observing this, we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. The bread and the wine and the body and the blood represent a covenant sacrifice. And I love in Revelation day, it's talking about the tabernacle of men. Is now this sanctuary is now with men. I want you to know in the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice animals. We know all that when you read that. They had to go in. Only one man could go in. The high priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And he'd take that blood. And the tradition says he had, and we know through the scripture that he did have bells around the end of his robe. But the tradition says, Joseph's talking about that they'd tie a rope around his leg. Why? Nobody else could go in there. One man before a holy God. Can you imagine that day that you prepared for and you're praying, you're saying, man, that high priest, God, you don't think he's not examining himself before he goes in there? Because if he comes in there with sin, he's struck down before a holy God. How many of us, if that was the case today as we enter into the Lord's Supper, the sin in our lives, he said, never do that. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Never take it lightly. Never take the Lord's Supper lightly. But that high priest would go in and he would sprinkle that blood and think about the people that were outside waiting, because that was the atonement for the sin for another year. And it had to be a great time of celebration when he came out and God had received that atonement. Listen, Christ on the Passover, this was a Passover meal that he was doing this. He was changing the whole thing, buddy. He was saying, no longer will you be sacrificing animals. In fact, Hebrews said, except for the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So we know that blood had to be shed to receive for our sin. And so he said, no longer. No, it's not these bulls and goats that's going to make a difference. They were all pointing to the one that would come and give his life for each and every one of us on Calvary. That's what he's talking about, that remembrance that we do. That we remember that he shed his blood. No longer does something have to die in our place. Christ did, and it's done. And that blood, and when you partake of that, that's what we're remembering. Remembering his sacrifice for you this morning. Wow, what a thought. He gave himself as a sacrifice for our sin. He took our place by receiving the wrath of God on the cross of Calvary. God could not look upon sin. God could not tolerate sin. It had to be a sacrifice. Jesus stepped in that place for you. He said, I'll take his wrath. I'll take his punishment. The Holy One of God, that's what we're remembering today. What he did for us. We remember what he has done. And we proclaim it. Before I go on, who would like to testify this morning? In remembrance of what Christ has done for you. Who would get up and say, thank you, Jesus? Give a testimony before we go on. Who would do that this morning? Who would get up and say, amen. I believe that with all my heart. Lori? it's celebration. What are we celebrating this morning? What is it that we're celebrating? Here's what we're celebrating. The presence of God with us. The presence of God with us. Because of the sacrifice, we have fellowship with God. It has been restored. I want you to think about Genesis chapter 3. That's the fall when God made everything perfect. A perfect environment, perfect relationship, perfect marriage between man and woman, a perfect marriage between God and man. A perfect relationship in a perfect place. And what happens? What did the serpent do when he came into the garden? What did he say? Listen, think about the words for a minute. Did he not say, take, eat? Take, eat? Did he not tempt the woman with the fruit and say, hey, did God say, and he tempted him, take, eat, take, eat? I can't help but think about this time of remembrance, this time that we come at the table. What did he say right there? Take, eat. Jesus says, you know what he's doing? He's restoring back what sin had done. It had separated us from a holy God. It had taken us out of the presence. You remember, man and woman had to be cast out of the garden, out of the presence of God. And yet we see one step in that place, one that took the wrath of God for us. He come back and he said, I'll restore what man has taken away. The presence of God in your life, in this church, that the presence comes because of what we're remembering today, what he did for us. The presence has returned. The Lord's table invites us back. You know what? We can now slide our knees under the table of God. By sending his son, he reversed the curse of the fall. And now when he says, take and eat, he's inviting us back into the presence of God. What a great thought this morning. No longer are we cast out, but we're brought back because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a celebration. What a thing to celebrate. We're back to now in right standing with God because of what Jesus has done. I'm going to tell you, if he's ever saved you, you know what I'm talking about this morning. You're back in right standing with God because of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, that'll cause you to celebrate. Now, you might be going through some rough times. You might get mealy mouth every now and then. We all do, right? But every, you know what? When we remember, when we think back, really, what have we got to be sad-faced about? What have we got to be hopeless about? We have the greatest hope of all. Jesus has come, and he's brought us back in the presence of God when we receive his sacrifice for our sin. We deserve hell and punishment and all these things, but there's one stood in the gap, and he says, I'll take it for him, bringing you back in the presence of a holy God. You have that privilege this morning because of Jesus, and that's what we're going to remember here in just a few minutes. It should be a celebration time. I'm going to tell you, when that old priest come out, don't you think they didn't celebrate when that blood was atoned? We ought to celebrate every Sunday. Every Sunday. Why? Because the blood has been paid for us. Every Sunday. I'm going to tell you, when I get out of the bed in the morning, I can't help it when I think, thank you, Jesus. And I told you before, I go through the gospel. You know what I say? I get on my knees. I say, Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you that Jesus came to this earth, that he died for me, that he died for my sins. Lord, help me to live in that promise today. Help me to understand, Lord, that the gospel is the thing that will change this world, that will keep my heart changed also. Keep my focus on the cross and not on the situations around me. And we ought to do that every day. We ought to rehearse the gospel in our own life. It's a celebration. Not only that, it's a communion. Now, because we're brought back in this right standing with God through Christ, we have communion with God. Now, this relationship is restored. Do you know that any time, the death hour at midnight, and how many of you have been there when you've got something on your mind, you're worried to death about a child or sickness or a situation, and it doesn't matter? He's not up there asleep saying, oh, let me wake you up. He's waiting for communion with you. And any time in Jesus' name, you can go before the throne and have communion with the Holy God and draw strength from that. That's what we're remembering. we have that scripture that says, through prayer, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then what he says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's how we don't worry. 90%, Danny, is the percentage. 90% of the things people worry about never happen. 90%. And the 10 can take care of itself. What do you think? Give that 10 and say, Lord, hey, you know what? I'm not going to worry about things that will never happen. That Satan wants us to do that. And keep people, we have so many people that that are medicated and all these things because of anxiety. I'm not saying that's not all right. Every now and then you might have to do those things. And those are gifts that God gives us, but we should never rely on that completely. There's a God in heaven that says, I am here. You can commune with Him, and you have a relationship with Him at any moment of the day or hour of the night. He's there. But listen, that is not just the only communion with God, but guess what? It's communion with each other. Communion with each other. This is what church is about. We come together each week. You know what? We might be frazzled. Sometimes you feel like your hair's standing straight up and you're bruised and it's like, what just happened this week? Right? I mean, we all have weeks like that. Let's just be honest. But you know what? When we come here, we draw strength from each other. Why? Because this is the family of God. Do you realize? Listen, two or three years ago, you didn't even know me except for a guy that came every now and a redneck that preached for you. And now I feel like your family, man. Think of the people that can come in here. You never know. And how is it that I can feel comfortable that I find a place? It's because of Jesus, the communion of God, and the communion of the saints. Man, that's what it's about. That's what we celebrate, what He's done for us. That's why it's so important. That's why I'm a church guy. Not just because I'm a preacher. I was a church guy before I was a preacher, okay? I was a church guy. Why? I needed to go and be around people. I didn't have to worry about all the garbage that comes in or ever on all sides. I can come and draw strength with my family. My South Fork church family. Way to go, Lynn. That was a good one yesterday. That's the reason I say, hello, South Fork church family. Why? Because that's what we are. We're a family of God. We're the family of God. We commune with God and we commune with each other. It's about communion. That's what He does. He ties us together. We're not the next thing. Look, which by the way, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. But it's nourishment. Okay, you say, wait a minute now. I'm not talking about physical nourishment. I know the little wafer or the little bit of juice, it don't nourish us. I'm hungry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual nourishment. The things that we're already doing. We're feasting right now at the table, okay? We're pulled up to the table right now. It's nourishment. It spiritually confirms our faith and strengthens us. It builds us up in Christ. It's a means of focusing on and celebrating grace. Grace. Where would we be without it? It helps us draw strength from one another. It lets us know we're not alone. We have Christ. We have each other. We have come together, and it nourishes us spiritually because we draw from the Lord and what He's done, and we remember, we celebrate, we commune, and our souls are fed. It's nourishment to us this morning, spiritual nourishment. But then it's anticipation. We anticipate the glory to come. Do you know Jesus said, I won't take, especially in Luke 22, when it's Luke's rendition of the Lord's Supper and what happened that night. He keeps saying again, for I say to you, when he took the bread, I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And in verse 18, he says, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. So it's this anticipation. Do you realize, just like the marriage supper of the Lamb, that one of these days we're going to pull up to the real table of Christ. And the scripture says, let me tell you what Luke says. Luke says, he's going to serve us. Now, I want you to wrap your mind around that this morning, that our Savior, the one that died for us, He's going to serve us that cup and He's going to serve us that bread. That's amazing. We anticipate. We anticipate the time we'll all be together. Your loved ones that have went on with Jesus and Christ, they'll be there too. We'll all be together in Christ. And Luke 12:37 says, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find washing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down on the table and will come and serve them. The marriage marriage supper of the Lamb. There was going to be a time. Yeah, we pull up to the table today, but it's just a focus and a picture that one day you'll receive it from Jesus Christ, Himself, in heaven because of what He's done for you. Anticipation. But lastly, we would fail miserably if it wasn't its examination. What does the Scripture tell us? Therefore, who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. The Corinthians were abusing it at the time. These Scriptures were written for them in this context of where they were. They were abusing it. They were taking advantage of the Lord's Supper. They was making it into a feast, a celebration. People were going hungry. Other people were just overeating. So they made it into something that God didn't mean for it to be. But He tells us to examine. We can't just remember, but we also examine ourselves. We do a reflection on the inside. Reflection on our life. Here's the deal. Are there any sin in your life this morning? I know we all sin. As Lee's on in your testimony, we all sin and fail. I'm not talking about those times. I'm talking about known sin. I'm talking about a lifestyle of sin that's in your life, that you know it's there, that you're doing it. Here's the deal. Do not partake of the Lord's Supper if it's there. Do not. Why? Because He says it comes with a cost when you do that. Do not. If there's sin in your life, we examine. We examine, we reflect, we repent, and then we partake. And that's why I'm going to have a few moments here just of silence. Do not be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Don't be guilty of that. This is not something you just do. This is not something we just tack on. This is done in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, His sacrifice, His communion, all these things that bring us together. It's what we are of. I want us to take a minute. Shut your eyes in silence. Reflect on the inside. Ask the Lord if there's something. If you know of sin in your life, you better ask the Lord to forgive you of it now and repent of it. I don't mean just ask Him to cover you and then you're going to go out and do the same thing when you leave here. I'm talking about a true repentance and asking Him to forgive you of anything that might be in your heart that will keep you from taking the Lord's Supper. Unworthily. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you know I've never had a relation, this would be a time for you to say, Lord, I need to know You as my personal Savior. I accept You today as my Savior if the Holy Spirit has revealed that to you. Ask Him to forgive you and accept His salvation in your life. And if you do that, I would love to know about that, by the way, so we could help you. But here's our quiet time. Search our hearts. Is there sin there? Unforgiveness. We haven't forgiven somebody. Jealousy. That we're jealous. Resentment. Gossip. Slander. And we can go on and on. We lay these down at Your feet this morning. We ask You to forgive us. Help us to partake worthily this morning. And we thank You. Deacons, if you'll come forward. thanks and broken it. He said, take this and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper. Thank you. this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do in as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to take of the Lord's Supper. Thank you. We do it in remembrance. We do it in celebration. We do it in communion and nourishment, in anticipation, and also in examination. I pray nobody leaves here without knowing they're right with the Lord today. I pray for that person that they've prayed to receive Christ that they'll tell us today. And we thank you for the blessed opportunity. We ask, may God be glorified. Lord, let us have a great evening time we spend with our family. Thank you for the great privilege. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you'll give me a minute, I'll get to the back. You guys will be free to go.